This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Today on the program, immigrants use art to connect their stories to the locals. The tricky role first responders play in deciding the fate of mentally ill youth, and a permaculture primer from the frozen North Country. But first, you're no doubt familiar with the online retailers Amazon, eBay, and Craigslist for selling and swapping goods and services. We recently read about a site that caters to the shadier side of e-commerce. The Silk Road is an online black market where nearly anything can be bought and sold, from Afghani hashish to assault weapons to prescription meds, assuming you can find your way there. Freelance magazine journalist Sabrina Erdely wrote about the Silk Road for Rolling Stone magazine, where she is contributing editor. She's on the line with us to tell us what she found on the darker side of e-commerce. Sabrina, welcome back to Word of Mouth.
Thanks, Virginia.
How hard is it to get to the Silk Road? I understand you needed the help of a hacker just to connect.
Right, I did. I know a hacker who acted as kind of a Virgil in guiding me into this whole underworld. Getting to Silk Road takes a little bit of technical know-how and patience, because it isn't a website you can access through your regular browser. Even if you have the web address, which is very forgettable, it's basically just a string of letters and numbers, if you plug that URL into your regular browser, like Internet Explorer or Firefox, it'll say the site can't be found. The only way to access it is with a software called Tor, that's spelled T-O-R, which is an anonymizing software. It lets users use the web without being traced. This is a program that was not intended as a way to allow people to buy, you know, cocaine and M16s online. It was actually developed so that if you live in a country with an oppressive government, you can post things online or access information online without fear of repercussions.
And that's where opportunism sets in. So what does it look like once you get there to the Silk Road?
Well, once you get to the site, it's sort of hilariously cozy. It's true. The layout would be familiar to anyone who's ever shopped online, right down to the little shopping cart in the upper right-hand corner. And along the left side of the page, right where you'd expect it, you've got all the categories of things you can buy. And the site also has a feedback system, just like you'd find on Amazon or eBay, with ratings 1 through 5. So if you're curious about other buyers' experiences with a particular seller, you can just click on their comments. So the website isn't as polished looking as a professional legal marketplace, but anyone who's used Amazon or eBay would have no problem using Silk Road.
In fact, in your article, there's a little graphic from Silk Road Anonymous Marketplace, you know, drugs, 343 findings, you know, it lists ecstasy, psychedelics, opiates. It's really quite something. And then you can just add it to your cart. What are some of the things that are on sale on the Silk Road?
Oh, the things for sale, they run the gamut. There's every type of illegal drug you can imagine, first of all, and they break it down into categories to make it easier for you. You know, there's cannabis, ecstasy, dissociatives, opioids, stimulants, benzos, and then there's just a category called other, where you can find you know, prescription medications, injectable steroids, you know, cheap cartons of cigarettes. There's also a weapons section where you can get machine guns and ammunition. There's a pornography section, and there's a forgeries section, too. When I was on there, in the forgery section, you could get a fake driver's license, a doctor's prescription pad, and there was even a seller who was claiming to have a fully editable UCLA acceptance letter.
Wowie. How does the site not get busted by authorities or the DEA?
Well, sellers feel fairly comfortable openly selling these things on Silk Road because the identities of buyers and sellers are completely obscured thanks to the Tor software. Tracing illegal stuff online back to its source is always a challenge for law enforcement, but this is especially challenging for the DEA because of the anonymity of Tor. It hides people's IP addresses. And then there are additional precautions that people take so that they don't get caught. I mean, for one thing, the site encourages sellers to creatively disguise their shipments and to vacuum pack their drugs so that they don't give off, you know, a suspicious odor and raise the suspicions from the FedEx guy. Also, there's another level of anonymity through the payment system because Silk Road doesn't accept credit cards or PayPal or any form of payment that can be easily traced.
All right, so what do they do? How do people pay for goods?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because the site only accepts something called Bitcoin, which is a new virtual currency system. It's known as a peer-to-peer cash system, and it's generated by other computer users. And it was developed as an alternative currency to keep banks and governments out of the loop. And there are a number of anti-establishment philosophies at play behind the development of Bitcoin. But the use of Bitcoins to buy illegal drugs is yet another example of technology being used in ways where people may or may not really, have intended. Supposedly, Bitcoin transactions are completely anonymous. Although I spoke with a couple of Bitcoin's developers, and both of them insisted that a really determined detective could trace a purchase back to its source, because every Bitcoin transaction is broadcast over the internet in code. But even if that is the case, it does add another obstacle between you and law enforcement. So if someone's looking to make a purchase on Silk Road, first you have to go and change your money for some Bitcoins, which you can do just like you're changing your dollars for a foreign currency. You do it online. There are a small handful of websites that will change your currency for Bitcoins. And then you put the Bitcoins into your Silk Road account, and it's like the digital equivalent of walking in with a paper bag full of cash.
We're speaking with Sabrina Erderly. She wrote about the online black marketplace, The Silk Road, for Rolling Stone magazine, where she's a contributing editor. Well, so far, we're giving people quite a little primer in using this. I mean, are you afraid that reporting on it is going to draw more interest to this black market site?
Well, I mean, like the site says, when you log on, you use it at your own risk. I mean, I would not recommend anybody use it. And the site does warn you. You know, when I first got on there, there's this gigantic warning saying this is an experimental site and they can't guarantee your protection from law enforcement or from other users. That certainly made me hesitate before I clicked agree. But I did. All in the name of research. Didn't buy anything, of course.
An anonymous administrator told you via email that they are a bright and honest and cooperative community. I mean, there's a real sense of, I guess, buyers and sellers trusting each other. But there's a kind of philosophical bent to all of this. What's behind that, Sabrina?
I would say that this is the point where libertarians and anarchists meet. You've got that libertarian bent where people say, people should decide for themselves what they should or should not do, and government shouldn't stand in their way or dictate to them how they should go about their business. And then from the perspective of the anarchists, Silk Road represents the sort of lawless free-for-all where, again, government doesn't intervene and stand between you and what you want to do, whatever that may be.
Where do these products come from? Do you get any sense their origins on the site?
Yes, you can see on the site that it truly is a global operation. Sellers, when I went on the site, were claiming to be from the Netherlands, from England, from here in America, all over the world, and they appeared to be individual sellers. But there is a rumor that drug cartels are starting to dip a toe into the water and sell their drugs on there to try to get on this game. So when you're dealing with the sellers, you really don't know who you're buying from.
Well, do you see the Silk Road and other black market sites gaining popularity as most of the world goes online? I mean, is this where illegal business is going to take place?
I would say it was inevitable that the internet would be used as a black market. People were already using the internet to do all kinds of things with a certain feeling of anonymity. Well, now there's a software that promises true anonymity, and the gloves are off, and it makes the internet a true free-for-all for all the impulses that people have. So my guess is that, especially if law enforcement isn't successful in bringing down Silk Road, we'll be seeing more sites like this soon.
Well, Sabrina, thanks so much for that little illegal journey for us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Sabrina Erderly, a freelance journalist. She's written for magazines like Self and The New Yorker. She's also a contributing editor at Rolling Stone. You're going to find a link to her article, including that graphic I mentioned of the Silk Road interface. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. And there's also a link to her website where you can read much more of her work there as well. And you have a legitimate seat for exchanging your ideas on the Word of Mouth radio page or on Facebook or on Twitter @wordofmouth.